Shabbat Shalom again.
Shabbat Shalom.
I think the Torah reading from Romans will be a good introduction to the message I'm going to give today. It's called I Believe. I believe it's going to be a message on faith. And I want to start in Mark 9, verse 17. And one answered out of the crowd saying, "Teacher, I brought my son to you having a spirit that does not speak. And whenever it overtakes him, it knocks him down, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes paralyzed. And I asked your disciples to cast him out, and they were not able to." And answering them, he said, "O generation that is unfaithful, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to him, and when the spirit saw him, and knocked him down at once, and he fell on the ground, and violently shaking, he was foamed at the mouth. And he questioned his father, "How long a time is it while this has happened to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And after it threw him into the fire and water that it might destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, help us, having pity on us." And Yeshua said to him, "If you are able to believe, all things are possible to the ones believing." And at once the father of the boy cried out while mourning and said, "I believe, my master. Help the lack of my faith." And sometimes it says, "I believe, help my unbelief." What is he talking about? Help, I believe, help my lack of trust is really what he's saying. And that's really what I want to talk about today, because Luke 18, maybe I'll read that before I comment here. Luke 18 in verse 7 through 9 says, "Will not Elohim do all the more vengeance for his elect who call on him day and night, and he will be long-suffering with them? I say to you, he will do their vengeance quickly. Nevertheless, the Son of Man will indeed come. And will he find faith on the earth?" And he also spoke this parable to some of them, relying on themselves that they are righteous and despising the rest. So I think the first thing I always say when you're getting into subjects, you have to define what a subject is. And I think the biggest problem is people don't know what the word faith means. You know, when we hear things like grace, when we hear things like justification, when we hear things like sanctification, these are words that most people have no idea what they mean. And proof of it is many times talking to somebody about the Trinity, and you'll go into it, and 1 minute they'll be saying there's three, 1 minute they're saying there's two, 1 minute they're saying there's one. And then you're saying, well, is it one or is it three? And they keep contradicting themselves. And when you really pin them in the corner, their answer is, well, I just believe it in faith. And they think faith is blind, and faith is not blind. And the problem is today, with most people, think is faith is not faith. It's actually hope. They're hoping things are there, but it's not faith that they believe. Because like the man said here, "I believe, but help my lack of trust." So it's like if I were to say to you, "Do you believe it's going to rain tomorrow?" And you might say, "Yeah, I believe it's going to rain tomorrow. I was listening to the news last night, and they said it's going to rain." And if I were to say to you, would you risk your eternal salvation on whether it rains tomorrow? Your answer would be, no, of course I wouldn't. Why not? You just said you believe it. If you believe it, then it's got to happen. So there's a difference between belief and conviction. There's a big difference between belief and conviction. And that's really what I want to get into today, because without conviction, you don't have faith. All you have is hope. You know, it's something that you think, it's something you hope, but it's not faith. Faith is conviction, absolute conviction. So if we go to Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things being hoped. It was the substance of things that have come to pass, and the evidence of things not having been seen." So isn't this kind of interesting? In the case of the Trinity, which is most times when you're talking to people, when you ask them questions and they can't back their doctrine, and they say, "Well, I just believe it in faith." And they're thinking faith is blind. But the Bible tells us the definition of faith is far from being blind. It's evidence. It's substance, it's reality, and it's full assurance. So it's that there's no doubt in your mind. No doubt in your mind. You know, it's like if you went to work and your husband was back at home you know, or you went to the store, let's say, and your husband's back at home, and you're talking to somebody in the checkout line, and they say, oh, how you doing? Do you have family? And you say, oh, yeah, I have a husband at home, and he's with my two children. Well, how do you know that's true? He's not there in front of you. You don't see your husband. But in faith, in assurance, you know, in conviction, you know he's there because you just saw him beforehand. You know? So faith isn't something you have to see before your eyes, but it's a conviction, 100%, that what's being said is true. And I'm telling you, it's a big problem because Yeshua says here, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he find conviction? Will he find assurance? And the answer is no. He won't find it. You know, he's not going to find assurance. The same way we say, you know, the Christian churches, they all teach revival in the end time. They all teach all these billions of people come to faith. And what does Yeshua say? Master, in the end, will many be saved? Very simple question. His answer is real simple. No, many will not be saved. Go through the narrow road, because narrow is the way, and constricted is the road to eternal life. Few will get there. Wide is the road, and broad is the way to destruction, and many will take it. So it's the same way here. This is so important. Why? Because look at verse 6 of Hebrews. But without faith, without conviction, it is impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So most people will say, yeah, I believe Yahweh is. You know why? Because the alternative is too scary to think about. It's too scary to think about. What if we're wrong? What if the atheists are right and there is nothing there and we all came from a bang? You don't even want to think about that. So we want to say he's there. But it's not only belief that he is, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's a complete trust in his promises. And to actually believe that he is and not trust in his promises, you know what that is? That's the unpardonable sin. That's knowing he's there, having his spirit in you, and there's no doubt in your mind that yes, Yahweh is true. You just don't believe him. And that's why when Yeshua said here in Luke 18, right? Will the Son of Man find faith when he comes? And then he says he spoke a parable to those relying on themselves. And this is the problem, that Babylon has created a system where people are thinking they have faith and they have self-reliance. They don't have faith in Yahweh. They're having self-reliance. They hope that it's there. But like I said, as we're going to see, faith is conviction and faith is action. You know, if you see smoke, if this building was burning and we saw smoke over here and flames of fire, are we going to sit here and say, I in faith believe if it's Yahweh's will, I'll walk out of that door? Of course not. If this thing was in flames and smoke and fire was everywhere, you wouldn't even have to think about it. We'd all be running for the door. You know why? Because it's a conviction. Fire will kill. Every human being knows that. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. But somehow when it comes to Yahweh, we think differently. Seven commands, direct commands to leave the land of Babylon. And people still say, if Yahweh tells me to leave, what Bible are you reading? What Bible are you reading? You don't have conviction, you know? Because if you had conviction, conviction means you act on what you're doing. And that's why, how many times do you meet somebody, you start witnessing, let's say about the Sabbath day, and they say, you know, what you're saying, that really sounds right. And then you're showing them in the Bible and you're saying, wow, you know something? That seems to be right. What you're saying, that the Sabbath seems to be Saturday and not Sunday. But then the next thing is, if you're really convicted, you have to go into your boss and say, I'm leaving my job. I know I'm making $150,000 a year, but I'm leaving this because this is a sin. If I work on Saturday, and I might lose my eternal life. So people may believe that Saturday is the Sabbath, but they're not that convicted. Because they have more conviction in the system of Babylon than they have in the promises of Yahweh. And that's what Yahweh says. If you have that, you can't please him. And you can't make it into his kingdom. It is impossible to please Yahweh if you don't believe he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So do you? Are you convicted that Yahweh is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Are you convicted? Not only do you believe it, are you convicted? Because I'll give you an example. If the neighbor came into us and said, I need some help, guys. And I got a lot of money. Money's not the problem. If you guys can come here on Sunday and you could rake my leaves on my property for 2 hours, I'll give each of you $1 million. Let's be honest. Who would say no? None of us. None of us would. Because that's a pretty good trade. 2 hours raking leave, $1 million? Wow, you know what we can do? We can help the poor. We can do this. We can build more kibbutzes. A lot of stuff you can do. So every one of us would be convicted that this person is going to perform what they say. That they're promising us. Because you know what? We may do that 2 hours work and they might not give us $1 million. But we'd be so convicted that that neighbor is going to tell the truth and give us the money, we do it. So why is it any different with Yahweh? Why does Yahweh tell us we're living in the last days, the little bit of work you do right now, how much longer is each of us going to live? 1 year? 5 years? 20 years? Not very long, maybe 30 years? And he says, whatever you do starting today till my kingdom comes, I am going to give you 1 million times over. I'm going to make you a king and a priest. And you're going to live with me forever. And what do? We go back to our jobs. We go back to our works. We don't work for Yahweh. And you know what that means? You don't have faith. You don't have faith. You put faith in the world. You put faith in worldly education. You put faith in worldly bosses. You certainly believe them because everybody's getting that paycheck at the end of the week. But you're not believing Yahweh. You're not believing Yahweh's promises that he says, if you work for me now, I'll give you eternity. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Revelation 22:12. Yeshua says, the end of Revelation, the end of the book, look what he says. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me to give each according to his work. My reward is with me to give each according to his work. John 15. You know, unless you bear fruit, you're cut off, you go to the lake of fire. Do you believe these things? Because this is my point. We can understand the analogy very simple with a neighbor asking us to work 2 hours and giving us $1 million. How much time is the rest of your life from today until the kingdom comes compared to eternity? How much time is that? How much time? Even if Yeshua delayed his coming and you lived another 50 years, what is that to eternity? You know, I always tell the story when I was first learning about the truth, and cousin of mine was telling me, eternity, what does eternity mean? And he said, if you had a mountain that was 3,000 feet high, and a bird came once a year and just pecked his beak on that mountain. Think about that. A 3,000 foot mountain, once a year a bird just pecks his beak. From the time it would take that mountain to get down to land level, which is zillions of billions of years, that's 1 second of eternity. Do you believe it? Are you convicted of it? Because if you are, you're going to work for Yahweh. You're going to stop living to the world. You're going to stop living to all the things of the world. And you're going to work for Yahweh because you know that Yahweh is a rewarder. Let me read it again. But without faith, it's impossible to please Yahweh. For it is right the one drawing near to Yahweh should believe he is. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if you believe this with all your heart, if you're convicted with all your heart, you will work for Yahweh every day knowing that whatever you do, he's recording it in heaven and Yeshua's coming back and his reward is with him to give each according to his work. Are you convicted or aren't you convicted? It's one or the other. And I'm telling you, it's the spirit of Babylon that is in people that has taken that conviction away. Luke 19 in verse 12. We see it again because it's all over the New Testament. Luke 19 and verse 12. He says, then a certain well-born man went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. Who's he talking about? Yeshua. He's talking about Yeshua going up to heaven, and now he's in heaven and he's waiting to come back. And calling 10 of his slaves, here we are, right? He said to them, trade and keep busy until I come. But the citizens of that city, the Jews here in Israel, hated him and sent ambassadors after him and said, we will not do it. That we will not want this man to rule over us. Here we are today. We're here in Israel. We see the same thing. And it happened as he returned, Yeshua's coming back, having received the kingdom, praise Yahweh, he even said to those servants to be called to him, those to whom he gave the silver, that he might know what each had gained by trading. Now, what is the silver? The silver is the Holy Spirit in you. Each of us, he's given gifts of the Holy Spirit, not for us to go out and everyone says, wow, look how good you are. You can speak five languages. You can cast out demons. No, he's given us these gifts to bear fruit for his kingdom because he's coming back with his reward and he's going to reward us on what we did. And as we're going to see, if you do nothing, you're not going to get a reward. And the first came saying, Master, your minor, your spirit in me gained 10 times the spirit. And he said, well done, good slave, because you were faithful over a least thing, have authority over 10 cities. Right? We're going to be kings and priests in this kingdom that's coming. And you have no idea when he comes, if he's going to put you over China, if he's going to put you over Russia. Maybe he'll put you over Mars. Who knows what he's going to do in the time to come. And he said also to the other one, the second one came saying, Master, your minor made me 5 minors. And he said to this one, you be over 5 cities. And another came saying, Master, behold your minor, which I have stored in a facecloth. For I feared you, because you're a harsh man, taking what you did not lay down and reaping what you did not sow. So all this guy did was make excuses, right? The same as people do today. You know, hey, I work for Yahweh, but I can't. I'm a single mother. I'm unemployed. I've got a bad leg. You know, there's always a reason why someone can't work for Yahweh. But look what his answer is. But he said to them, I will judge you out of your own mouth, you wicked slave. You knew that I'm a harsh man, taking what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow. And why did you not give my silver on the bank table? In coming, I might have exacted it with interest. He didn't even do the least of it. He did nothing, absolutely nothing. And to those standing by, he said, take the mina from him and give it to the one that has 10 minas. And they said, Master, he has 10 minas. For he said, to everyone who has it will be given, and the one who does not have even what he has will be taken, the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit and you're using it, Yahweh's going to give you more of it, and you're going to grow in it. And I'm telling you, we're in a time now where he's starting to pour his Spirit out on his people. Is it just going to arbitrarily go on everybody? No, it's not. It's going to go on the people that are pleading with him and saying, Father, give me your Spirit, and the ones that are using it. And the more you use it, the more that Spirit is going to grow. But I'm telling you, the latter rain has started. The latter rain has started. And you can receive it if you ask him to receive it. We're rewarded eternally for the fruit we bear now. Do you believe it? Are you convicted? Because by definition, if you're convicted, you will act on it. That's what conviction means. You know? What is your priority? Your priority is what you get done. That's the definition of priority. The thing you get done is your priority. So if you're getting done all the worldly things, and you're not getting done Yahweh's things, it's not your priority, and it's not your conviction, and you don't have faith. But again, admittance is the first step to recovery. You know, this is going to be a great message, but the message is here to encourage the people to realize, I don't have the faith I need, but I want it. But the ones that are going to sit there and are going to deny it and think they have the faith when they don't, you're never going to change. You have to realize what you don't have, and you have to pray to Yahweh, and you have to ask him for it. John 11, verse 23. But even now I know, this is when Yeshua is with Lazarus, right? And he comes, and Lazarus is in the grave, and Mary is there, and says, but even now I know, whatever you may ask Yahweh, she says this to Yeshua, he will give it to you. Yeshua's sister, your brother will arise. Martha, not Mary. Martha says to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Yeshua said to him, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Are you convicted of this? And she said, yes, Master. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of Elohim, who comes into the world. And you know, we're hitting in very, very hard times, difficult times. The world is turning into chaos. The new normal that's there. Immorality that's changing into so-called morality. But at the end of the day, are you convicted of this? Because every single human being that ever lived, right? You can go to Hebron. And the bones of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still there in Hebron in that grave until today. You can go to the city of David. David's bones is in the grave over there in the city of David. Do you know almost every Bible figure that you could read here? They're all laying here in Israel. They're all here with us. They're just in the grave. There's one person, though, who's not in his grave. Go to the garden tomb, look at the sign. He is not here, he is risen. Are we convicted of that? Because that's the conviction that will change your life. Because you know what? If you can't pay your bills, If you have cancer, if you're sick, none of it will matter if they're going to put you in prison. Because if Yeshua was raised from the dead and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, then that means we will also be raised with him at his coming. Are you convicted? And if you're not working for Yahweh every day of your life, if you're working for some crummy job that's going to not be here in a couple of years, you know, if you're going for 15 years of a stinking worldly education that means absolutely nothing except in this world, and if your life is only for you and the picket fence and the 2.5 children, then you're not convicted. And if you are convicted, then you're the stupidest person in the world because you're committing the unpardonable sin. You're knowing that Yahweh is real. You're knowing that this is real, and you're still living for yourself in the world. Just like Yeshua said, will the Son of Man find faith? And he told them a parable of those relying on themselves. And that's the deception of Babylon. You know, what do they tell the young girls, you know, in the West? Go get an education, because you're going to get older, you're going to marry some jerk, he's going to leave you, and you're going to be on your own. Rely on yourself. Don't rely on anybody. And now Yahweh says the opposite. He says, you rely on me. Remember the parting of the Red Sea? And what are they saying? You know, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you took us out here? What did Moses say? Stand back and see the salvation of Yahweh, the Yeshua of Yahweh. These Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. And then what did he tell them? He told them to hold their peace. Yahweh will fight for you and you be silent. That's conviction. And the problem is today, people are not standing back and letting Yahweh's salvation go. They're fighting their own battles. And they're losing those battles over and over and over. And then they're blaming other people. You know, they want to blame Yahweh. They want to blame whoever. Stand back. Stand back and let Yahweh fight those battles. That's what conviction is. He wants to fight those battles for you. The only thing that stops him is you. Because you have free choice. So all you have to do is say, Dad, get involved. And believe me when I say, he will get involved. He will get involved. Do you believe with all your heart that the resurrection happened? Are you convicted? Is there absolutely zero doubt in your mind? Because like I said, if that happened, then there's nothing else that can harm us. Because if it happened to Yeshua, that means it will happen to us. Romans 4 and verse 3. For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed Yahweh and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed, he was convicted. Abraham, get up and walk. Abraham got up and walked. No questions asked. Because you know what? All things work for the good. And if Yahweh says something, I don't need to know why he says it. You know? When we started doing mixed clothing, I had no idea why. I didn't understand it. All I knew is it says it, so I'm going to do it. So, you know, we don't have to scientifically know why every single law in the Torah is there. Although, of course, Yahweh has a reason for everything. But whether we know why it's there or not, we're doing it because we're convicted that every single thing Yahweh tells us is for our good. That's what he says. There's no doubt in our mind that he would tell us something that wouldn't be for our good. We drop down to verse 17. According to what has been written, I have appointed you a father of many nations. That's Abraham's blessing for obedience. Before Elohim, who he believed, the one making the dead live, and calling things that are not as if they were. He against hope believed in hope, for him to become a father of many nations, according to what has been said. So shall your seed be. And being 100 years old, he never weakened in faith, even when he examined his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not hesitate at the promise of Elohim as one lacking faith, but he was strong in faith and gave glory to Elohim. So here's a guy, right? Yahweh starts telling him at 75 years old, you're going to have this child. He gets 80, he gets 90, he gets 95. Where's the child? We hear it all the time. Oh, they've been saying this about prophecy for all this time. Oh, there's always been bad weather. Oh, there's always been earthquakes. Oh, there's always been this. Being 100 years old, he never weakened in faith. Never weakened in faith. He sees his body growing old. He doesn't know he's going to die, but he doesn't weaken in faith because he believes, he's convicted that every single thing Yahweh says is true. And how much do we in our life deny him? And we don't even realize it. that we're denying his promises. We're denying what he's saying. We see it before us, what he's shown us. You know, all you have to go is go to Daniel 12:4. You know, in the end time, people will be running to and fro and knowledge will be increased. We're seeing it like never before. So let the soothsayer, let the atheist, let them sit there and say, there's always been knowledge. Oh, yeah? Yeah. When has there ever been airplanes? When has there ever been trains? When has there ever been CERN? When has there ever been any of these things? There hasn't been. And the reason why they don't want to admit it is because they don't want to be convicted. Because when you're convicted, you're going to act. That's what conviction means, as we're going to see. Faith without works is dead. If you are convicted, you will act. And that's the point. If you're not acting, you're Laodicean. If you're convicted, you're going to act. In verse 21, and he felt assured that what Yahweh had promised him, he was able to fulfill. Hebrews 11:6. Because of this, it was also counted to him for righteousness. But it was not written for him only that it was counted to him, but also on account of us, that whom it is about to be counted to the ones believing in him who raised our Master Yeshua from the dead, who was delivered because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Yeah. And I'm not here to shove that down anybody's throat who doesn't want to hear it, but I am here to shove it down my own throat every day of my life because I believe it, I'm convicted. And no matter what anybody says, like I say at the end of the day, you don't have to believe it, but all that matters is if it's true or not. And I can prove it. I can prove it to anybody. The same way we can prove this Bible is true, we can prove that Yeshua was resurrected. We can prove it. You know how you can prove it? Because there were 500 witnesses that saw it. And the Jews were around in that time. And they wrote all this bad stuff about Yeshua. They never once said one of those witnesses were lying. They never once denied what the witnesses said. As a matter of fact, in the Talmud, it says, yes, Yeshua did the miracles. Yes, he walked on water. Yes, he raised the dead. Yes, he healed the crippled. In their own writings, they say it. And still they don't believe. That's between them and Yahweh. But is it true? Absolutely, it's true. And I'm convicted. I'm convicted because it's true. That's why it's convicted. But again, conviction is going to bring in action. So he didn't only do this for Abraham, but he also did it for us. Revelation 3, because like I said, there's a false faith out there. There's people that are claiming they believe, but they're not acting out the conviction. Revelation 3 and verse 14. To the messenger of the congregation of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the head of the creation of Elohim. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. And this is a clear-cut sign that you're Laodicean. If you have no conviction, because like I said, conviction will bring action. That's the definition of conviction. If there's no action, then you have to start looking if you're a Laodicean. But because you say, I'm rich, and I'm made rich, and I have need of nothing, and do you not know you're miserable, and a wanderer, and poor, and blind, and naked? That's the Laodicean. The Laodicean is out there, and they're poor, they're blind, and miserable, and naked. And I'll tell you a story of my own, because all I can do is look at my own heart, and I can say this with conviction, because when I left America, I thought I was one of the faithful ones. I thought, wow, I believe this. I'm leaving because I'm believing. And once I left, I found out I was a Laodicean. I found out. I left America. We left with money. We left with 10 years of food. We left with a container of possessions. That little by little, it all went. But then all of a sudden, I realized I had no faith. And can you imagine how that feels? To think, to be a Laodicean, you think you're rich and increased with goods? You think you're leaving? Because, oh, look at all these people. They're not leaving, and I'm one of the faithful ones. And you get down there, and you realize you have no faith. And like I said, for me to cry out to Yahweh, it wasn't for any other reason, but I had nothing else to turn to. I was broken. I had nothing else to turn to. But I realized then that it's not my faith. It's his faith. The way you're going to get faith is to realize that we don't have faith. You can't work faith up. It's his faith, but if you ask him, he's faithful to give it to you. You know, it's one of the fruits of his spirit is faith. And I'm telling you, it was a scary situation. But I realized every single thing in the flesh you rely on is the less faith you're going to have. You know, so whether electricity, houses, education, jobs, 401k, healthcare, none of these things are wrong in themselves. But the system of Babylon makes you rely on all these things in your life, and the people have no idea that they're faithless. And that's one thing I can say. It's not to criticize. I'm saying it as one who overcame it. That if you're living in the system of Babylon, you do not have faith, or very little of it. And the only way you will gain faith is coming out of that system. Because the more you're relying on anything except Yahweh, you're not going to have faith. Think about it. When you get sick, what's the first thing you do? Do you call the elder and ask for anointing? Or do you run to the medicine cabinet or to the doctor? What's the first thing you're doing? You know, if your whole life, we realized it when we left, that my whole life, whenever I needed something, I just write a check out. Pull out a credit card. I would never pray to Yahweh for food. Why would I have to? I'd just buy it. And it was the greatest blessing in our life when he allowed us to rely on him. We had absolutely nothing. But praying to him, he said, don't worry. This is my promise. As long as you believe it, I'll give it to you. And I went out that day, and you know what happened? I found 2 cents in the street. And that was his conviction to me that I'm not going to leave you. There's that 2 cents. And we would say every time, the covenant continues. And you want to know something? As the weeks and the months and the years went on, those cents went into nickels, to dimes, to quarters, to half dollars, to fives, to tens, to fifties. Every single time we left our house, we'd find money. On average, we were finding between $100 and $200 a month, which paid our rent and paid our food. We would walk down the street and all of a sudden people that didn't even speak English would call us over and they'd give us a basket of fruit. We'd say, what's this? And they'd point up to heaven. And we'd say, the covenant continues. And when it first starts, and this is when I realized they didn't have faith, because when it first started, you're on this rush. But then you're wondering, is it going to happen tomorrow? And you're hoping it's going to happen, but you're not convicted. But then after day, after day, after day, after day, after week, after month, after year, now I realize Yahweh will fulfill his promise like it says in Hebrews 11:6. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You have to believe he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I have no doubt anymore. He's done it over and over and over. There's not an ounce of doubt in my life that every single thing he says he's going to complete. Here's a story I told many times that built our faith. When we were over in Europe, and times were rough, we were talking to a family we knew here in the land, and they were having a rough time, and we said, well, you know, we don't have any money to get there, but if we could get there, what do you need? They had 6 children. They said, the kids really need shoes. We prayed. We went outside. What do we find? Near a dumpster, a shoe store threw out 3 big bags of brand new shoes never worn before. We come home, we start laying them out, every size for their children, and even I got slippers. I think I even still have those slippers today. So Yahweh is really good. Then we said, but we don't have the money. Somebody comes up to us, we never told anybody. You know, we were trying to get back to Israel. Somebody come up and say, you know something, I prayed today, and if you're to go to Israel, Yahweh said, give you the money. Put it in our hand, and there we were. But these stories happened over and over and over. Why? Because we believed it. Because we believed it. And like I said, until I started praying to Yahweh for everything, I tell the story when we were in Italy, and we had a broken cistern, just like it talks about in Jeremiah, you know, that like he says, a cistern that holds no water. And I thought to myself, because we're praying for rain. And I said, wow, this is the first time in my life I ever prayed for rain. I always remember praying against rain. We're going to have a picnic Sunday. Let's pray it doesn't rain. And now I'm praying for rain. The most basic thing in life. You know why? Because in the Babylonian system, just turn on the faucet. And even today, they're having the worst drought in more than 1,000 years in California. And people still say, they'll figure out a way. You know, I just turn on the faucet. One way or another, they're going to get me water. Don't be too sure. Don't be too sure. If we don't rely on Yahweh in these end times, I'm telling you, we have to realize it. You have to realize there's a difference between belief and trust. Belief and conviction. Jacob 2:19 tells us that even the demons believe. You know? Even the demons believe, but they're not convicted. They don't trust in Yahweh. So belief on its own is not enough. You have to be convicted. And Yahweh tells him, if you continue in Revelation 17, you know, verse 18, I advise you to buy me gold, having been fired in fire, that you may be rich, and your garments may be clothed, and your shame and nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. That's the key to it. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous then, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter to him, and I will dine with him. And he with me. The one overcoming, I'll give to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. The one who has an ear, hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. He's coming. He's coming. And once he comes, he'll be sitting on that throne forever, and everything we see in this system will be gone. And that's what I say. You know, are you living for this system? You're living for the next one. We all got to work. We all got to provide for our families. But we can choose what job we do. Are we doing something that's helping the problem? Or are you just out there in some meaningless job to get money for your own self-preservation? But he says, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking today. He's knocking to each of us. He's knocking to each of us. Like I said, it's his faith we need to ask. Luke 11. Because a lot of times, people will have pride and they'll think it's faith. You know, like I said, talk to somebody about the Trinity. They get all upset. Well, you know what? Well, yeah. Well, I just believe. Yeah. Well, that's I believe because I want to believe. That's not belief. Because like we said, what is belief? Belief is evidence. Belief is substance. Belief is reality. Belief is not blind. So sometimes pride will stop somebody from asking. But if we humble ourselves before Yahweh and we ask him, as a loving father, he's willing to give it to us. Luke 11, verse 9. And I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone asking receives, and the one who finds, and the one seeking finds. And to the one knocking, it will be opened. Like we said, Yahweh is knocking. And who among you, if he is a father, and his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? And if he should ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And if you are evil, and you know to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father from heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? But we have to humble ourselves. See, that's what Yahweh wants. To get into the kingdom, it's 100% reliance in him. And that's why I say, in the third world countries, the reason why they have more faith, the reason why they're able to surrender to Yahweh is because they have nothing. You know, they're starting the kibbutz in Ethiopia. Because they're all starting with nothing. So it's easy to put nothing together. But just like the miracle, the fish and the loaves, you'd be surprised when you put a lot of nothing together that you wind up with something. And these people, they're on their own. Now, have cows, they have this, that somehow, that it was donated. Wasn't given to them for nothing. Of their own, they're doing it. So you'd be surprised if we humble ourselves and we ask Yahweh how much he can bless his people. Ask and you will receive. Matthew 10 and verse 37. Matthew 10 and verse 37 says, the one loving father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And the one loving son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever shall not take up his torture stick and follow after me is not worthy for me. The one finding his life will lose it, and the one losing his life on account of me shall find it. And I was saying, are you convicted? Do you believe it? And if you do, unless you forsake everything, you cannot be not my disciple. We do this in our disciple class at the school. It's pretty simple that when you look at the cost and you count the cost to be a disciple, you know what it is? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. So we have a worthless, pathetic life in the world. I got no problem giving that life up. And now that Yeshua can live in me and that whatever he can do in me, if I surrender to him, praise him for that. Where is the boasting? There is no boasting because it's him doing it. But when we hold our life back, and we want to live the old life, and we want the eternal life together. That's Babylon. And you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. Because when you go under that water of baptism, and you accept the blood of Yeshua, you accept his beating, his mockery, spitting on him, you accept everything he went through, there's a sacrifice you've got to make, and it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And like he says here, if you put anything before him, anything before him, you're not worthy of him. The one loving father, mother, more than me is not worthy of me. One loving son or daughter is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his torture stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. The one finding his life will lose it. And the one losing his life on account of me will find it. Are you finding your life in Babylon? Do you love the captivity more than the reward? Because if you really, really believed this Bible, we see all the signs to know we are getting close. And that shouldn't frighten us. That should excite us. Because that means very, very shortly, you know, that one day we'll go into another, in a month and another, but very, very shortly, in a few short years, Yeshua's feet will stand on that Mount of Olives. And then that's it. He is here forever. He's not coming for 42 months. He's not coming for 1,260 days. He's not coming for 7 years. He's coming for eternity. And he's coming for those who love his coming to reign with him as king and priest in the universe. Do you believe it, or are you convicted? And if you're convicted, you're going to act on it. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Yahweh? You're not of yourself. You were bought with a price. Then glorify Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Yahweh. You were bought with a price, and a great price that was. Because the creator of the universe, the eternal being that has no beginning and no end, came here for 33 years, like I said, in a physical body, pooped in his diaper as a baby, you know, got sick as a young boy and a young man, went through all kinds of things, discouragement, you know, rejected by friends and family and even his disciples, went through suffering and pain, you know, was mocked as he was being tortured and crucified. He did it for us. He did it for each of us. So that we can be in the position now where eternal life is in us and we're just waiting for his return to change this world around. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. You were bought with price. Did you count the cost when you became a believer? You can't live in your life in Babylon and think you have faith in Yahweh. You don't. You don't. How convicted are you? Luke 17 and verse 5. And the apostle said to our master, give us more faith, right? Give us more faith. That's what we need. Because if you have the faith, the conviction, then automatically you're going to do something. What we need is that conviction, though. And he said to him, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you would say to this sycamore tree, be rooted up and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or tending a flock, will immediately say to him, coming out of the field, come recline? But will he not say to him, prepare something that I may eat? And having girded himself, serve me until I eat and drink. And after these things you shall eat and drink. What thanks does he receive, that servant, because he did that which he was commanded? I don't think so. Likewise, even you, when you have done all the things that you're commanded, you say we're idle servants, because we've only done what we ought to. So, what is he saying? When they're asking him for more faith, what is he saying? The way you get faith is by fulfilling your role as a servant. The problem is, with this Babylonian mindset, we don't want to be servants. We want to be kings in Babylon, in the system of Babylon. And we don't want to serve, we want to be served. And that's what he's saying. You want your faith increased? Become a servant. Become a servant, because then Yahweh, you're going to rely on Yahweh, because the servant doesn't have anything but to serve the master. And he will give you faith, because he's going to take care of you, and that's what faith is. The more he's taking care of you, the more you're going to rely on him. You know, the Shemitah year is coming. This Yom Teruah. And I honestly, I encourage everybody. Take a year of your life. You know, we're all at this such important, pivotal part. Take a year of your life and dedicate the whole Shemitah to Yahweh Yeshua. Make it a year of getting back to the wilderness, turning back to him. Dedicate this year to him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And I will guarantee you, when that Shemitah is ending, whatever happens during the Shemitah year, you, who knows, you might have the end of Babylon, you might have financial crashes, you may or may not. But I will guarantee you, if you dedicate that year to Yahweh, at the end of that year, you will have 10 times more faith than you have today. That I'll guarantee you. I don't know what's going to happen in world events. Like I said, it may or may not happen. We're seeing a lot of the signs, but I will guarantee you that you you will have more faith than you have today. Jacob 2 and verse 14. Jacob 2 and verse 14. He says, my brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith but does not have deeds? Is the faith able to restore him to life? See, that's Christianity. It's a bunch of talk. It's a bunch of philosophy. But there's nothing to back it up. And that's why I say, if you have conviction, you will automatically have a deed. The conviction is which will make a deed. Your priorities are what you get done. If he says he has faith, but he doesn't have his deed, is faith able to restore him to life? But if a brother or sister is naked and may be lacking in daily food, and any one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but does not give them the things the body needs, what is the gain? So also faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead being by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith apart from your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that Elohim is one, Echad. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Like I said, the demons believe it because they know it's true. But they're not convicted. They don't trust. They don't trust in Yahweh. You believe Elohim is Echad. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that faith apart from deeds is dead? What was not our father Abraham justified by his deeds, offering up his son Isaac on the altar? You see how faith helped with his deeds, and how his deeds, the faith, was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying that Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was counted for righteousness. We just read it. And he was called the friend of Elohim. You see then how a man by his deeds becomes righteous, and not by faith alone, because it's not real faith. But in the same way, Rahab the innkeeper was also justified by her deeds, having received the messengers and sending them by another way. For as the body is dead apart from the spirit, so also faith without deeds is dead. Like I said, belief without conviction will get you nowhere. Will get you nowhere. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. Talked about Abraham again. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. He says, having been called out by faith, Abraham obeyed to go forth to a place which he was going to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not understanding where he went. Now, like I said, wow, talking about Babylon for 20 years, and there's a lot you hear back and forth and sideways. With Abraham, it was just Abraham got up and walked. Abraham got up and walked. No questions asked. Yahweh said it. I believe it. That settles it, like the bumper sticker says, right? Faith without deeds is dead. He went out not understanding where he went. By faith, he resided as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the joint heirs of the same promise. For he looked forward to a city having the foundations of which the builder and maker is Yahweh. He wasn't building his kingdom on this earth with the white fence and the 2.5 children. Never found out what a half child is, you know. Statistics always say that. 2.3 children. What is a 0.3 child? But Abraham was building something that the foundation and maker was Yahweh. Verse 13. These all died by way of faith, not having received the promises. Wow. So, were they foolish? All the apostles and the prophets and Abraham, were they foolish? They didn't get anything yet. Like I said, they're all sitting in their graves here in Israel. No, they're not foolish. Because when Yahweh says something, it's as if it's already happened. They all died not receiving the promises, but seeing them from afar and being persuaded and having embraced and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were convicted, and that's what made them different. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, they were no different than we are. They were human beings. They sinned, they made mistakes, but what made them different was there was a burning belief, conviction in their heart that they acted on it. They literally acted on it, and that's why today, you know, the things they did, their deeds are recorded in heaven, and they're waiting for their reward as we are. For those saying such things make clear that they seek a fatherland, and truly if they remembered that from which they came out, they had time to return. But now they stretch forth to a better, that is a heavenly land. Therefore Yahweh is not ashamed of them, for him to be called their Elohim, for he prepared a city for them. You know, how many have I seen through the years that so boastfully proud, we're leaving Babylon, and within a matter of a couple of weeks to months, or maybe sometimes a year, they're all back there. Now we say that, you know. There's reasons why maybe some can't get out of there now, but once you're out, why would you ever go back to it? You know, I told many people that. Well, there's 1,000 countries in the world. You can be poor anywhere. You don't have to be poor in America. You can be poor anywhere. 70% of the world makes less than $5 a week. You know? So if you can't get out of Babylon for whatever reason, you know, feel bad for you, could pray for you. But if you're out, why on earth would you look back like he's saying? No, we're looking ahead. For Yahweh is preparing a city. By faith, Abraham in his trial offered up Isaac, and he laid on the altar his only son, whom he received by promise, by whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed will be called." And he reasoned with him himself that Elohim was able to raise him even from the dead. And because of this, Isaac was given to him as a parable. Just think about this. We read it as a story. We analyze it. You know, there's things written everywhere. But let's take it for what it really is. Here's a guy that's 75 years old, that Yahweh comes and speaks to him and tells him that he's going to be this father of many nations. His seed is going to be at the sand of the sea. And him and his wife are past the age of even bearing one child. And he waits 10 years. He waits 20 years. And it doesn't happen. Now he might be even ready to die and it didn't happen yet. But it says he never wavered. Now finally that child's born when he's 99 years old. And what happens? He gets to be about 13 years old or so. And Yahweh says, "Take that child and sacrifice him to me." Can you imagine what must have been going on in Abraham's head? But it never says he doubted. Because you know what Abraham was thinking? Abraham wasn't thinking, "Well, I don't know why he wants this child, but let me give him to him." Abraham said, "No, Yahweh made me a promise. And if I'm going to kill him, Yahweh will raise him up." Hebrews 11:6. "He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." He's able to perform what he does, what he says. And that's what made this so important. Not just that Abraham blindly followed, but that Abraham believed that this son, you made me a promise. You said this son would do this. So I don't know why you're telling me to kill him, and I will kill him, but I know you'll raise him up. Now today, if this happened today, what would people think? They think you're nuts, you're crazy. Yahweh would never say that. Oh really, he wouldn't say that. Well, he said it, here it is. We have it. So how much hypocrite people are sometimes. That they'll read these stories in the Bible and they'll believe it. They'll believe that Yahweh spoke through the mouth of a donkey. But if somebody comes and says, "Hey, Yahweh spoke to me last night in a dream." Oh, I don't believe it. Because they have no conviction. They hope that Yahweh's there. They don't believe that Yahweh's there. And I tell you from somebody who has seen Yahweh's angel, seen it with my eyes at the corner of my bed. I've seen the miracles. I've cast out demons. I've healed the sick. People that had less than a month to live. The one guy that had stomach cancer, and as I was praying for him, I could hear the stomach being put back together. Went to the doctor that Monday, and the cancer was completely gone. I've seen it. I've seen it. And that's why I have no doubt whatsoever that Yahweh is able to perform what he says. Because he's seen it. He's shown it. He's shown it in my life. He's shown it in your life. And the problem is, so many brethren I hear speaking when they first come to faith, and these miracles will happen. And then all of a sudden, I mean in big miracles, many, many brethren, later on, as I'm talking to brethren and they're falling away, I'll say, "Well, what about the miracle here?" "Oh yeah, yeah." That's why Yahweh doesn't use miracles to build faith. Look at Israelites. He did 10 miracles and they didn't even get to the Dead Sea. They were already rejecting him. You know, miracles are an extension of your faith. They're not there to build your faith. You know, and like I always say, faith is not knowing that Yahweh is going to do it your way. When you're sick and you have cancer, people have told me before, "I know he's going to heal me." And they died. When I'm sick, I don't know Yahweh will heal me. I know he can heal me. And that's what faith is. That while you're going through that sickness, that you trust that for whatever reason, whatever you're going through is for your good. Of course Yahweh can heal cancer. Yahweh can raise the dead. Yahweh can do anything. But who am I to say I know what he's going to do? I don't know what he's going to do. I know he exists. And I know he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Romans 8:28, I know all things work out for the good of those who love Yahweh and call according to purpose. So that's why I have no doubt in my life. I don't know the future. All I know is whatever happens is for my good, because Yahweh says it. And that's what faith is. Faith is conviction that every word of Yahweh is true. And you got to believe it, because we're living in times, like it says, it's impossible to please Yahweh without faith. And that's what faith is. It's belief and conviction. And conviction means actions, like we're looking at over here. Conviction is actions. Abraham believed in the resurrection and was even willing to kill his child for that. It was accounted worthy. Let's go to Romans 10. Because how do we build faith? Besides asking for Yahweh, like we said, we have to plead with him and ask him to give us more faith. We have to be a servant, like Yeshua said. The more you're surrendering your life to him, he's going to bless you with more faith as you're serving him. And also Romans 10 in verse 13. For everyone who ever may call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Praise Yahweh. It comes from Joel 2:32. How then may we call on one whom we have not believed? And how may they believe on one who have not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they are not sent? Judicial order. Ambassadors are sent. They don't go on their own. Even as it has been written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. But not all obeyed the good news. For Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Then faith, how does it come? Comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. Like I was saying last week, you have to saturate your life in the word. You have to saturate your life. Praise Yahweh, today we have things where it's not just the written word. You know, like I said, if I'm traveling to a meeting in Jerusalem and I got a 3-hour ride, I can put the Bible on CD in the car. I can listen to a sermon. So we're blessed where even if you have to drive or something, you have to saturate yourself with the word of Yahweh. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And like I said, the more it's in your mind, the more you're focusing on it, the more you're thinking about it, dreaming about it, meditating on it, the more it becomes your reality. And that's what faith is. Faith is a reality. And like I said, though, sometimes that electric bill becomes a reality too. And I've used the analogy before that sometimes people have more faith in the person who owns the electric company than they do in Yahweh. And I've never met a person in my life who knows the name of the person who owns the electric company. Anybody here know in Israel? Never ever met somebody. Yet, when you get that notice in the mail, May 29th, your electric is going off unless you pay this money, what do people do? May 28th, hook or crook, they're down there at the post office, they're paying the bill. You know why? Because they're convicted that whoever owns that electric company will perform what he said. He's going to shut off that electric. And yet Yahweh tells us, work for me now these few short years and I will give you, make you kings and priests and children in my kingdom. And we don't have the same conviction. So in essence, many times people are believing the owner of the electric company, who they don't even know who he is, more than they're believing Yahweh. And it would kind of be ironic if it wasn't so true. But it's true. We show more faith in the system of Babylon so many times than we show in Yahweh and his promises. But again, Babylon is going to fall. Every single thing in this earth that's physical will burn. But Yahweh and his spirit will go on forever. Faith grows by saturating your mind with the word. Whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And like I said, the system of Babylon, this is what makes it so evil, that purposely, Satan knows this, and he purposely puts all these things in people's heads and children from the time they're born. And now, wow, with homosexuality and these other things, you give it 20 years, and all these young people will not only be homosexuals and lesbians, they'll all think it's normal. They'll all think it's just a choice, a human right, whatever it is. And that's why we know there can't be much time left. There can't be much time left because you would never even have one generation that would survive it. Mark 10 in verse 46. Faith is conviction. Faith is action. I want to give you an example of that here. Mark 10 in verse 46. And they came into Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd having gone from Jericho, a son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus the blind, sat beside the highway begging. And hearing that it was Yeshua the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Son of David, Yeshua, have mercy on me. And many warned him that he be quiet. But he much more cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And standing still, Yeshua said for him to be called. And they called the blind one, saying to him, Have courage, rise up, he calls you. And the blind man, throwing away his garment, rising up, he came to Yeshua. And answering Yeshua said to him, what do you desire I should do to you? And the blind one said, my Rabboni, my great one, that I may see again. And Yeshua said to him, go, your faith has healed you. And instantly he saw again and followed Yeshua in the highway. And the interesting part about this story is where he talks about the blind man, verse 50, getting up, throwing his garment, rising up, he came to Yeshua. Because in the first century, you weren't just allowed to beg. They couldn't have beggars everywhere. What they had was something called a beggar's coat. And if you were legally blind, you would have a garment that would be given to you by the state, and that would give you the legal right to beg. And that's the only way you can get food or anything. So now when you're looking at this, this person who's blind, before he's healed, he takes his coat, he takes his sustenance, he takes the only thing that can keep him going and throws it aside because he's convicted that Yeshua can make him see again. Right? He's convicted that Yeshua can make him see again. You know, do we have that conviction? Or are we holding on to crutches of Babylon? You know, do we have that conviction? So it's a great story here. Also, if you look in Romans 14:22, he says, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before Yahweh. Blessed is the one not condemning himself in doing the things he selected. And we used to see this a lot years back when we first started, and we lived a lot in the hostels. We'd see people that were telling us they're living on faith. And all they were doing is taking advantage of other people. Do you have faith? Have it between you and Yahweh alone. Let me read it again. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before Yahweh. Blessed is the one not condemning himself in doing the things he selected. So faith isn't always pawning off of somebody. That's not faith, you know. And like I said, unfortunately, we used to meet a lot of people like this in the hostels that constantly they'd be putting other people out, you know, whether it's staying in someone's home, taking somebody's money, grabbing this and making people feel guilty. And the brethren are loving, they're giving, they're trying to help. But that's not faith, you know. Faith is having between you and Yahweh alone, you know. And if somebody wants to help you, that's great. We should be helping each other. But it's not trying to make people feel guilty to always be giving you something. That's not faith. That's a false faith. Matthew 10. And here, like we said, we see what this beggar was. He was convicted enough to let his actions back up his words. Matthew 14. Was there something else about faith you want to see here? I'm going to start in verse 23. And having dismissed the crowds, he went into the mountain alone to pray. And even in coming on, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was against it. But in the fourth watch of the night, Yeshua went out walking on the sea. And seeing him walking on the sea, the disciples were troubled, saying, it's a false vision. And they cried out from the fear. But immediately Yeshua spoke to them, saying, be comforted, I am. Do not fear. And answering him, Peter said, Master, if it is you, command me to come to you on the waters. And he said, come. And going down from the boat, Peter walked on the waters to Yeshua. That's why I say every time we're out there, I love this story, because when we're out on that boat, we were just there a few weeks ago with the group, that there's no other water in the world that we know of that not only Yeshua, I mean, he's the eternal creator, of course. He could walk on air. He could walk on anything. But that a human being, that Peter walked on water. So if there's ever a water that you can walk on, it's the Sea of Galilee. But look what happens. But seeing the wind strong, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, Master, save me. And immediately stretching out the hand, Yeshua took hold of him and he said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt me? And coming into the boat, the wind was quieted. Remember what I said? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Yahweh. The more you saturate yourself with the word of Yahweh, this is your reality. And you're going to build your faith and you're going to be convicted and you're going to act on it. But when did Peter start to sink? When he took his eyes off the goal. When he took his eyes off the goal, he started to sink. And that's what happens sometimes. We take our eyes off Yeshua. We take our eyes off the kingdom. Because like I said, that electric bill, when it's overdue, it becomes our reality. You know, or the rent, or whatever else it is, or maybe a sickness that you're having. And it can't be. The only reality we need is the resurrection. That's got to be our reality. The reality of the kingdom of Yahweh is real, living in a kingdom mentality every day, and knowing, oh yeah, I may have to live X amount of more months and maybe a couple more years in this system, but the kingdom of Yahweh will be here before you could blink an eye, and that kingdom is forever. And that's what I'm preparing for. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm eating and breathing. And every day of my life is for. It's for that kingdom. Because that's the eternal kingdom that is going to be the solution to every world problem. So it's not some kind of false fantasy hope that we have there. This is the thing that very now can help everybody in the world. So wherever we go, whatever opportunity we have, you know, to give witness to, this is our witness. This is what will change people's lives. This is the thing that will help people come from darkness into light. But we've got to keep our eye on the goal. Got to keep your eye on the goal. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." You cannot have faith without the fear of Yahweh. And that's why today, oh, when you look in the world and you see people have no fear of Yahweh. They just, they'll do any evil thing. They hate anything dealing with the Bible. And the fear of Yahweh, you know, I have that sermon on that. It leads to everything. Fear of Yahweh leads to repentance. The fear of Yahweh leads to love. And the fear of Yahweh leads to faith. You know, that we have to have the fear of Yahweh to lead us into faith. Hebrews 11:7, look what it says. Hebrews 11:7, "Being divinely warned by Yahweh about the things not having been seen, moved with fear, by faith, Noah prepared an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness according to faith." So it was fear through faith that motivated Noah. And we should be the same thing. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If we don't have fear that if we don't follow through with this, we could lose our salvation, you're never going to do it. Fear is a good thing. Fear is a motivating thing. Not the enabling fear that stops you. I'm talking about the good fear. The fear that will motivate you onto good works. And realize, Yahweh's up here, and I'm down here. We have to fear Him, because He's so different than us. You know, His ways are not our ways. And the fear of Yahweh will lead. It will lead to this kind of faith. Hebrews 3. Be ending here shortly. Yeah. Whole chapter from the children of Israel. He says, "For this reason, holy brethren, called by a call from heaven, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Yeshua Messiah." Did you realize Yeshua was an apostle? It says it right here. "Being faithful to him who appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For he was counted worthy of much glory than Moses, by so much as the one having built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by somebody, but he who built all things is Yahweh. And Moses, as a servant, was faithful in all his house for a testimony of the things having been spoken. But Messiah has son over his own house, whose house we are." We're all part of the house and body of Messiah. "If truly we hold fast the boldness and rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end, endure to the end. Because of this, even as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts to provoke him, as the murmurers did in the day of the temptation in the wilderness." Remember 1 Corinthians 10. All these things were for our example, for the last generation, who the end of the world has come. "So do not harden your hearts to provoke them, as the murmurers did in the day of temptation in the wilderness. There where your fathers tempted me, even though they saw my works for 40 years. Because of this I was angry with that generation, said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest." 2 million people lost the millennium. Died in the wilderness because of this. "Beware therefore, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart that does not believe, that is not convicted, and you will be cut off from the living Elohim. But search your hearts each day until the day that is called the day, the day he returns." So it's not something we do once. We have to search our hearts every single day. "That not any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. But we have become partakers of Messiah, if truly from the beginning to the very end we hold steadfast to this true covenant. As in the saying today, if you hear even the echoes of his voice." You know, an echo? Echo. An echo bounces off and keeps going. So he's saying, even if you just hear the echo of his voice. Do not harden your hearts to anger him. Who were those who heard and provoked him? Was it not those who came out of Egypt through Moses, although not all of them? But with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with the one sinning whose bones lay in the wilderness? We were there a few years ago, where a lot of those bones are still laying. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest except those not obeying? So we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear, lest while the promise of entering into his rest remains, lest some among you find that they are falling short from entering. For indeed, we had had the good news preached to us, even as they also. But the word did not profit those hearing, not having been mixed with faith in the ones who heard. Did they believe Yahweh existed? Of course they did. They heard his voice, they saw the miracles. Were they convicted of his promises? No, they weren't. And a whole generation lost out on that. We have to have conviction or you don't have faith. Drop down to verse 8, because then he gets into, for if Joshua the son of Nun had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. It is therefore the duty of the people of Elohim to keep the Sabbath. For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as Elohim did from his. And he's comparing our rest through Messiah, you know, this time we're in now coming to faith, as the rest that's eternal rest during the millennium. He says, therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest, that not anyone fall in the same example of disobedience. For the word of Yahweh is living and powerfully working and sharper than every two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of both soul and spirit, both joints and marrow and bones, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart, like we said last week, taking every thought into captivity. So, wow. He's talking about here with this faith that we have something every seventh day. This is why it's the duty of the people of Yahweh. Because Yahweh being the creator of the world, we're not just believing him as creator by keeping the Sabbath day, but we're convicted in his promises. And that's why Exodus 31, you know, when he talks about the Sabbath makes us children, we're convicted in these promises. And this is why we would never ever do work on the Sabbath day. You know, we would never do cooking on the Sabbath day. You know, we shouldn't be speaking our own words, but speaking the words of Yahweh. Because this very thing is the evidence that we're believing it. But if we simply say, that's why I don't tell people anymore when they say, are you a Sabbath keeper or do you believe in the Sabbath? I don't say I believe in the Sabbath, because the demons believe. I say, I keep the Sabbath. And there's a difference. There's many people who believe in the Sabbath and they're not keeping it. You have to keep the Sabbath. You have to be convicted of the Sabbath day. Sabbath is a test of faith. And like I said, no pleasure seeking, no speaking our own words, no compromising. One of the greatest blessings we've had on being here and many of the other brethren through the years of us keeping the hosting the feast here is I don't think there's anything from a physical way that can build your faith more than coming to the Holy Land. You know, to literally come here and see all the things of Yahweh. To, like I said, to go to Hebron, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's bones are still laying there. You know, to go to the city of David, you know, to see the tabernacle of David that's fallen. To go to all these places, to go in the cell where Yeshua spent his last few hours on earth. You know, and to think about what he was going through and really internalize his sacrifice for you there. That, what a blessing that Yahweh has given us. And I say this, I really don't say it tongue-in-cheek, but I believe it, that maybe the only reason that Yahweh allowed airplanes in these end times was for that reason. Because he knows, will there be faith in the end time? No, there's very little faith. But coming to Israel on a pilgrimage is a way to build our faith. Because there's not one person, including myself, that ever came here for the first time and had everything right. But when the people come here, they realize how wrong they had it. Oh, I thought this was this way. I didn't realize how far this was from here. Oh, I didn't realize the Valley of Elah is right next to this. So you realize how much that you thought was true was only your own imagination. And then you come here and you get it. You know, you get it. So praise Yahweh for that. Two more scriptures before we end here. First one is Jeremiah 25:12, because we're talking about faith. And it shall be when 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation and the land of the Chaldeans for their iniquity, it says Yahweh, and I will make it everlasting ruins. And I don't say this to attack anybody, but I have to say it out of love for the brethren in the West. How on earth Can anybody read the scripture? Knowing how close we're coming to the 70 years of Babylon being fulfilled. And where the Bible clearly says, not one person will survive. There'll be no remnant in Babylon. Everyone is going to die. Yahweh will completely destroy that nation. There's 7 direct commands. Flee, my people, flee. I don't want you to die. And how can people stay there with no conviction to even prepare? And not even have fear, you know? I mean, even recently I've had several people tell me, you know, oh, I'm just gonna have to work it out. How can people do it? And if you are, and you're watching this, you're Laodicean. You're Laodicean. If you can live there, and you have no plans on leaving, and you have no fear of what's coming, then you're Laodicean. You're thinking something that's not. You don't have faith. Because again, faith is not just belief. Faith is conviction. And conviction brings in action. And I know everybody can't get out of Babylon right now. For different reasons. But wow. For people to be there and have no fear and not even preparing. When it says 70 years, Yahweh's telling us exactly when he's going to destroy it. And we're coming so close to that. How people can do it. And that's why I give a message like this. Because so many in the West, they have no faith. And I'm telling you, I gave my testimony what happened to us when we left America and we were in Central America. You won't know it until you leave. You'll have no idea of how faithless you are until you leave there and you see it. And when the bottom falls out, it's too late. When the bottom falls out, you will never, ever do it. You'll be scared to death, and most are going to perish in Babylon, unfortunately. You have to start building faith here, like he says in Hebrews 3, while it's still cold today. But search your hearts each day until the day which is called the day. You have to search your hearts every single day. You have to be in that Bible. You have to immerse yourself with it. Because if not, this is no game. You will not make it through the end time. The last scripture I want to go into is Hebrews 11, verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. Because like I said, it's not our faith. It's Yahweh's faith. And all we have to do is ask Him. All we have to do is read our Bible. We saw all the things today, how to get that faith. And without that faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 32. What more shall I say? For time will fail me telling about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jethro, David, Samuel, the rest of the prophets. I plan on, I don't know when, but I'm going to give a part 2 to this on examples of faith. And start going through some of these because they're great stories. And this is what helps to build each other's faith by hearing other stories of faith. And that's why I tell stories of myself. Not to talk about myself, but to help people build faith to see this is real. You know? That this stuff is really happening. Who through faith overcame kingdoms, worked out righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the mouths of the sword, acquired power from weakness, became strong in war, made armies of foreigners to yield, restored to women their sons, they raised people from the dead, but others were beaten to death, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, like Stephen. And those received trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds in prison. They were stoned, they were tried, they were sawed in two. They died by murder of sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the holes of the earth. And in the new book I did last year, The Gates of Hell Will Not Prevail Against. So I have a lot of these stories. And they're encouraging to see. You're not alone, you know? We're going through this together, and we have to trust in Yahweh for His faith, and He will give it to us if we surrender ourselves and we believe. But you have to be convicted. And having obtained witness through the faith, these all died not receiving the promises. For as faithful as Abraham was, right? For as faithful as Noah was, for as faithful as Job was, none of them received anything yet. But we have to show the same faith they showed. And very, very shortly, in a few short years, Yeshua comes back and His reward is with Him to give to each according to their work. And they'll get their reward, and we'll get our reward. Yahweh, having foreseen something better concerning us, that they should not be perfected without us. Wow. Wow. What a day that is going to be. You know, what a wedding supper that'll be. To see Abraham and Isaac and David, like he said, in the kingdom of Yahweh, you know. And Yeshua coming up and giving each, like we do at our awards every year, everyone comes up and they get their certificate. But this time, you'll have a reward that he's going to have for each of us for what we're doing right now. So look back to the neighbor offering us the million dollars for 2 hours of work. And each of us would do it. Why? Because it's a good trade. You know, for 2 hours, as hard as you work, then you have that $1 million. And look how you can change things for other people in the world. Well, here it is the same way. You work for Yahweh in these 2 short hours of eternity. We're 5 minutes to midnight on the doomsday clock. So work for these next 5 minutes, which may actually be 5 or 10 years. Nobody knows but Yahweh. And he will give us something that's a reward for eternity. Something that moths can't come in and corrode. Do you want your name added to that list at the end of Hebrews 11? Because like I always say, Acts 29 is being written. And in heaven right now, these things are being recorded, right? And your name could be at the end of that list for the faith that you're showing right now. The kingdom is close. We must love Yahweh with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. We must give our best to him every day as a servant, believing in him fully, unconditionally. Praise him for all. And when others doubt, simply say, I believe.